Philippians chapter 1. We did the Ephesians, and so now we're moving down to Philippians chapter 1 tonight. Who wants to read? Sure, able to read. Just line it up, I guess it is. All right. Okay. All right. Sister, you come. Well, there's five, so that'll be six verses apiece, right? So six verses. Okay. Thank you.
Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, insomuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you, all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. In this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel.
Thank you, Moba.
So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, ye, and will rejoice.
Amen. Thank you.
For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I want not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you.
Thank you.
And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which he saw in me, and now here to be in me.
Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to Deuteronomy with me tonight. We'll hopefully try to finish this passage or this message we began last Wednesday night. And I've titled it, God Wants More Than You Do. God wants it more than you do, talking about the abundant life, living that promised life that he gives us. And so here tonight, we're going to talk about, again, the promised land. Let's begin reading there in let's go to verse 6 with me. Chapter 1, Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 6. So the Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb, saying, you have dwelt long enough in this mount. Turn you and take your journey and go to the mount of Amorites, unto all the places nigh thereunto, in the plain and the hills and the vale, in the south and by the seaside, in the land of the Canaanites, and the Lebanon, and the great river Euphrates. Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land, which the Lord sware unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them and to their seed after them. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name here tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the reading of the Word of God. We thank you for the songs that we sung. Thank you for the fellowship we've had. Thank you tonight, Lord, that you give us a place to come worship. God, give us a heart to worship with, a desire, dear God, to just be more of what Jesus would have us to be. Thank you for the faithfulness of your people. Thank you, Lord, for their love, dear God, for Jesus and the Word of God. Father, I ask you to bless them now, Lord, for their steadfastness in God. I ask you, Lord, to move with our hearts tonight, that you'd open our eyes about this blessed life that you allow us to live as a Christian. God, that we would live fully, God, and full of content, God, and full of pleasure, Lord, with the things of God. Father, help us tonight, dear God, to see it in a different way, to understand it in a better way. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Just want to remind you, though, on Friday that we have our Bible study, and that will be at 7 o'clock here in the fellowship hall. Saturday, we have our visitation at 10 o'clock in the morning. If you'd like to come, you sure welcome to do that as well. And then also we have our sunrise service at 7 o'clock on Sunday morning, and then we'll have breakfast. And I've asked Brother Gary to come and some of his people. He told me, he called me yesterday, he said about 15 people is going to come from his church. And so that's going to bring a little pretty good group here for that Sunday morning service. And of course, I go back to the church after that. Therefore, I had a little breakfast with us. So we might want to bring a little bit more breakfast. That if you're going to bring breakfast, bring a little bit more for them. They're a bunch of eaters over there at that church. But anyway, looking forward to that. Then we'll have Sunday school and church, and that'll be our day for the resurrection day. Looking forward to that. Amen. Also, next week I'll be going on vacation, and we don't usually go on vacation much, but I wanted to go this year, and so we'll be headed out to my daughter's house there in near Dallas, and Brother Robert will be here next Wednesday night to preach, and so I'll pray that all is back in the seats, back into where we are to be, supporting him and praying for him and letting God use him to help us. Amen. And so Brother Robert Bottom will be here. I couldn't get further in the bottom, right, than that's the bottom. But anyway, you'll enjoy him for sure. We love Brother Robert Bottom. All right, here in Deuteronomy chapter 1. And we preached some of this last Wednesday night, and so we're just going to kind of review for just a moment so that we can move forward on. But that word Deuteronomy, it means two or second law, two laws, second law. That word Deutero, it means two, and Dominion means law. And so it's called the second law. And what's taking place in Deuteronomy is that Moses, is speaking to the children. Now, the children that he's speaking to, if you'd go to chapter 1, verse 39, it says, "Moreover, your little ones, which he said would be a prey, and your children." Now, those children have grown up. Those little ones have now become adults. And those little ones are now going to go into the promised land. Now, all their parents have died. Every single one of them, they're not one that came from that, from their parents, except Caleb and Joshua. And those two are going to get to go into the promised land, but everyone else died. And so all these children now have grown up. They have now become adults. They have their own families. There's an estimation of about 1 million people at this point that they have came up with that number. I didn't come up with it, but it's just the number I've seen. And so now it's going to be like a review. Moses is going to go back and tell those youngins who are now adults and to say, "This is what happened. This is what I said. This is what you've done. This is what your parents have done." And then we're going to go on into the promised land. It's almost like the last message, or it is the last book that Moses is writing to the children of Israel. He's 120 years at this point. He's going to die soon. And he has one more message to tell the people that were little ones whenever they began to go into the promised land. It says there in verse 2, it was going to be 11 days. And then we found out in verse 3 that it's going to be 40 years. Amen. And so those people that he told, "Let's go into the promised land," 40 years later, they died in the wilderness. Their children are now listening to him preach. Now, the promised land, what does that mean to you and I tonight? The promised land is, I like to call it, the promised life. Right. That when you get saved, and you are given and promised a life. Amen. And that a life is called the abundant life. And so we get the eternal life, but we also get an abundant life. If you get born again and saved, it just goes to tell you tonight that that life that you're now going to live is not the life that you used to live. Right. That life now that we have in Christ is a life that is giving through Christ. And it's given by His Holy Spirit. It's giving through His Word. It's a total different way of thinking. It's a total different way of living. We do different things. We desire different things. We love different things. Things in our lives that were important are no longer important, but things that wasn't important are now important. We can just say this in this new life being saved is that it's sort of like this. It's like, "Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new," and we become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen? And so that's those that are in Christ tonight. We read it here in Philippians. It says, "For to me to live is Christ." That's a total different way of living. We've not ever lived that away when we were unsaved. But when we get saved, we now have a promised life, the abundant life, that you and I can live. Now, the sad part is that a majority of people who call Christians today, they don't live that life. They live in depression, they live in anger, they live in bitterness, they live in disappointment, they live in discouragement, they live in doubt. They live in trying to be a Christian. They live in trying to fit the mold. They try to do everything they can. They're trying to be happy. But, you know, that's not the Christian life. The Christian life is not trying. The Christian life is doing. Amen. The Christian life is being. That's what it's all about. It's just allow that the nature that you have taken on, the divine nature, according to 1 Peter, that we have taken the divine nature of God, and that divine nature has brought unto us a different nature than the nature we had. Right. And so living for Jesus tonight is not a decision we make in the morning. It's a decision we make towards Christ, and now our days, our lives are just lived by habit. Right? I mean, what we do as a Christian, we do every day and we do it everywhere. It's not something that we do, okay, we live a certain life at church, and then when we go home, we're a certain person, then we go to work, we're a certain person, and we go out to play, we're a certain person. No, that's not Christianity. Christianity is you get born again, get saved, the Christian, the Holy Ghost of God comes in you, you take on the eternal life, but now you have the abundant life, and everywhere you go, you just live the same way. It's no burden. It's not anything hard. It's not anything difficult. It's what's in you tonight that comes out of you. And so this life that I'm talking about as a Christian tonight, it consists of Jesus providing. Now what He has provided for us is freedom. He provided us fulfillment and fruitfulness tonight. And that's why we are happy. And that's where we find tonight our very joy of life is because of His freedom He gives to us. Freedom not to sin. Freedom to come up against temptation. Freedom to say no to the devil. Freedom tonight to live for Jesus. Freedom to read our Bible. Freedom to pray. Freedom to talk about Jesus. Freedom to just yell out His name. Freedom to love Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Freedom. So this is the life to live. Fulfillment. He fulfills every need. He fulfills us every day. He fulfills us in the evening and in the mornings. He's fulfillment. It don't matter tonight what goes on in our lives. It don't matter what takes place in and what's around us tonight. All the things that seem to be, all we know and all we care for is Jesus.
Amen.
And He's coming back.
Yes, He is.
Fulfillment. Fruitfulness tonight. Man, we have been more and do more than we've ever done before because of Jesus. I am what I am by the grace of God.
Hallelujah.
If there's any good thing within me tonight, it's because Jesus is in me.
That's
right. See, that's the attitude and the mindset of every Christian living this life. We find, secondly, that the life not only consists of Jesus providing, but it contains Jesus producing. So it's Jesus in us producing love. It's Jesus in us producing joy. Jesus in us producing peace. Jesus in us producing rest. Jesus in us producing hope. All those things we didn't have before salvation. But when we receive Christ as Savior, we get these things. And so we find that life. You say we can have hope in the rest, in the midst of something that's tragedy? Yes. You mean we can find rest when things seem to be unrestful? Yeah. You mean when things just seem to go haywire, we find joy? Yeah. That's the life I'm talking about tonight. That's the promised land, the promised life. We find, thirdly, that this life connects Jesus' person. And when we find ourselves in this abundant life, we love Jesus.
Amen.
We love not only Jesus, but we follow Jesus.
Right.
We obey Jesus. We find that we worship Jesus and we seek Jesus. That's the life of every Christian tonight, living in the abundant life, living in the promised land, if you'd say.
Yes.
We find, fourthly, that he coincides with Jesus. In other words, tonight, He hated sin, we hate sin.
Right.
We find that He loves righteousness, we love righteousness. We find tonight that we coincide with Jesus and we flee from sin and overcome sin. Because He overcomes sin, we can overcome sin. We find tonight that this promised life or promised land is the land that you and I need to get into. Well, it's the same land that the children of Israel needed to get into. If they would have got into the promised land tonight, all that I just got through saying tonight, they would have experienced. But there was a group of them that did not get to get into the promised land because of unbelief. But tonight, Moses is talking to their children and saying to them, let me tell you about what your mom and daddy did. And so most of us, like you and I, are just kind of listening to the preacher preach to the children of Israel. We're kind of in the sideline in the audience saying, okay, there you go, Moses. Amen. At the same time, we can take advantage of this tonight and look in our own lives and wondering why either we're not in our promised life and are in the abundant life, or are we allowing ourselves to live a life that is full of discouragement, full of distraught, full of bitterness, full of doubt, full of hatred, full of unhappiness tonight. And so we find many, many Christians or so-called Christians, or maybe Christians tonight, who are just unhappy people. They're complaining people. They are griping people. They are discontented people. They are never satisfied. They're never happy. They're always wanting more. They're always never just content. Amen? And so that's not the Christian life. I know it's the majority, it seems, but it's not the Christian life. We find number one tonight. He tells the children of Israel about possessing what's yours. And so Moses is saying about the promised land, he said, now this is yours. He tells him, he said, number one, it's going to take a decision for you to get to the promised land. I can't push you. I can't prob you. I'm not going to bribe you. I'm not going to do anything for you. You're going to have to make a decision, because he says that there in verse 6. He says, the Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb, saying, you have dwelt long enough in this mount. He said, you got to make a decision. You've been here long enough. It's time to go. 40 years and your family, your mom and daddy died here. It's time for you to get on into the promised land. But you're going to have to decide to do that. You're going to have to step up. You got to step out. You're going to have to go in. You can't stay where you are. You can't remain like you are. You can't dwell where you are. You're going to have to get off the mount. You're going to have to move from where you are. And you're going to have to decide to get to that promised life or promised land. Amen? Everybody in this room tonight, everybody's listening to my voice tonight, you can stay on the mount of depression. You stay on the mount of anger. You stay on the mount of being discontented. Or you can get off the mount. But in order for you to get off the mount, it's going to be a decision you got to make. We find number two. Not only was a decision, but it takes a determination. In verse 7 he says, turn you and take your journey and go. Turn you, take your journey and go. That's a determination. You got to say, I'm determined. I'm going to turn off this mount and I'm going to go where God give me to go, let me to go and promise me this land. Promise me this life. And I got determined I'm going to go. We talked about, he explains in verse 7, the amount. He talks about the tithe, what God gave to them. He gave them over 300,000 square miles. But they only took 30,000. What God gave them was from this. It was Lebanon and Syria all the way down to Iraq and Kuwait, all the way back down to Egypt through Jordan and all the way up the Mediterranean. And so it went like this. All that land God said is yours. Over 300,000 square miles. But they only occupied or only claimed 30,000 of it. And we talked about this last time, how God has given us so many promises. God has given us so many powers. God has given us tonight so many things that we, as a people of God, we have the promise of eternal life. We have the promise of abundant life. We have a promise of a spiritual life. We got power in prayer. We got power in God's Word. We got power in Christ. We got power in giving. We've got power tonight. We've got power. But the majority of Christians tonight do not claim all that God has for us. And we live only on 10% of what He's given us tonight. Amen. Isn't that true? Well, we don't get everything that God's given to us. We don't even claim it tonight. But it's going to take determination in order to get it tonight. We find, now I preached all this last week, and so I know that I'm probably being redundant. But not only does it take tonight a decision, and it's going to take a determination, but it's going to take a drive. We see that verse 8, behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land. Go in and possess the land. Go in and possess the land. It's before you, he said. The land is before you. The land is before you. Go in. But not only go in, possess the land. And so he says, it's before you. Go in, possess it. You got to have drive. And tonight, if any of us want to live this Christian life and live it appropriately and live it the way God's given it to us tonight, you've got to have some drive. Yes, sir, you're going to have to get off your due seat of nothing. You're going to have to get it up in the morning. You got to get it up in the evening.
That's right.
And you're going to have to get it going during the day. Friend, I'm telling you tonight, we are not using all the resources that God has given us. We're not at all claiming all the promises in which He has told us tonight. We are just living off a little bit of what God has given us. There's more to claim. There's more to take tonight. But it's going to take a drive. A drive. A desire. A determination. And then we preached on number two was, that is, taking what's yours tonight. Possessing what's yours tonight. God's given it to you. Possess it. And then secondly, producing what's yours. We find there in verses 10 and verse 11, the Lord your God hath multiplied you, and behold, you are this day as the stars of heaven for the multitude. The Lord God of your fathers made you 1,000 times so many more as you are, and bless you, and He has promised you. We find that it was God that produced what's yours. You didn't produce it. God said that you're going to be like the stars of heaven. We found that to be true in Genesis chapter 15. We read it last time. We read it in 22:7 and 26:4. God said you're going to be like the stars of the heaven. Stars of heaven. Stars of heaven. In Exodus chapter 32, let's read that one verse. Exodus 32 verse 13. Again, God says to us again what He has done. Exodus 32, 13. The Bible says, remember Abraham and Isaac and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thy own self, and saidest unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit forever. That's what He told the generation that died in the wilderness. Now, why did they not get into the promised land? Well, because they didn't make decision to do it. They didn't make determination to do it. And they didn't have drive to do it. Amen. So what were they going to get? They were going to get what God already produced. God already made them a multitude of stars, amen. That's what the Bible teaches here. God made the land in which He gave them. God multiplied the people. And then God had met the needs. We find a need right here in verses 11 through 18. We're not going to go through it tonight, but 11 through 18. There was an issue that came up, and that issue was Moses could not handle all the people. And so he had to come, and verse 15 says, so he took the chief of your tribes, the wise men, the known, and made them heads over you, captains over 1,000, the captains over hundreds, captains over 50s, captains over 10s, and officers among you, in order that you may hear, you may be judges, you may listen, you may counsel, you may give advice. And he says, there's something that came up to you, and you cannot give the advice, you don't know, then come to me, and we will get it all worked out. And we find tonight that is something that God met the need of the people. Every need that they had, God met.
Yes,
sir. And so whatever God was trying to get you to possess or get you to have tonight, God has provided it.
Yes.
And so to us tonight that have the promised life or the abundant life, everything that God wants you to possess, He's produced.
Amen.
It's not like you got to produce anything. All you got to do is get it. I mean, you ain't got to make it up. It's already there. You just got to take it.
Hallelujah.
I mean, God, what else can God do tonight for us to be happy? What else can God do for us to be holy? What else can God do tonight for you and I to live this abundant life, the living and loving Jesus and leaning on Christ the rest of our lives? And it doesn't matter what's taking place in our lives, that we're just happy with Jesus, amen? And that He's our life. And tonight we can just go on and go forward. And you know what is in that as well is being obedient. And that is being faithful. I'm not saying tonight to go out and drink like a sailor or smoke like a chimney tonight and think that God's just going to bless you. You can live this abundant life. No, I'm talking about living the abundant life as being faithful to God. Living the abundant life tonight is being obedient to His Word. Living the faithful life tonight is loving Jesus above and beyond all tonight. Is being right and holy before God. Living a righteousness tonight. Living a place in your life, well, friend, above reproach tonight. Living peacefully among all men tonight. This living a life tonight as a light of the world and the salt of the earth. As an ambassador of Christ tonight. Separated from the world. And friend, dedicated to God. That's the way to live tonight.
Yes,
but all that's been provided for.
Yes,
God has produced all those things already for us. We just got to take them. And so, boy, in that, God gets the glory. Amen. God gets the praise. And then we kind of ended there, I believe. And so we'll start tonight there in perceiving tonight what's yours. Perceiving what's yours there in verse 20. Tonight we find that in perceiving what's yours, the promised land. And the promised land is what? It's a life of victory. What's the promised life? The life of victory. What is it? It's a life of hope. It's a life of peace and a life of rest. It's a life of joy. It's a life tonight where we can have a smile on our face and we can have a joy in our heart. We can have a pep in our step. We can actually, during the times of difficulties and troubles tonight, we have hope. Tonight that we're not alone without support and aid and comfort. Tonight, perceiving what's yours. Tonight, we got to see what's ours. And we find tonight in verse 21 or 20, we see, "And I said unto you, you are come unto the mountains of the Amorites, which the Lord our God doth give unto us." And so there's that perceiving, right? He said, "I gave you here. Here's the mountain of the Amorites. If you look right there, that's yours. You can get that. Perceive it. See it." Amen. See it. Without a vision, people perish. See it. You've got to perceive it tonight. If you don't think tonight you can see this life to be lived, friend, you'll never live it. There's a many people tonight who don't get saved, and this is the reason why they don't get saved. I can't live the Christian life. Because what they're seeing tonight is not what they can do. You and I tonight that are saved, we've got to perceive that this abundant life, this promised life that God's given on us tonight, the life of victory, the life of peace and joy, and the life of hope and rest tonight, we can see it. And we see it by faith tonight. If we can see it, we can get to it. And so we find the perceiving of this. And number one, I want you to notice that you know it's yours. And what Moses is telling the children of Israel who have grown up now, he's telling them, he said, you know it's yours. Verse 21, Lewis says, "Behold," that means look, "the Lord thy God has set the land before thee." Look at it. "Go up and possess it as the Lord God of thy fathers has said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged." You know it's yours. For God said, go get it. He said, not only go, not only get, but he said, go. He said, get it, go, and then grow in it. And when you're growing, don't fear, don't be discouraged. I mean, I'm telling you right now, God said, I told your fathers and your mothers, and I'm telling you as well tonight, to go and get what God said to go and get. What are you be afraid of? What are you be discouraged over? I said, it's for you. Do you see it? Do you look upon it? Behold it. And tonight is exactly with you and I in abundant life. God said, go get it. He said, just grab it. I mean, just take it by the neck. Take it by the waist, friend. And throw a bear hug around this abundant life. And said, I'm going to get it. That's what we need tonight. Instead of walking around saying, I don't think I can ever get there. I'm telling you, I don't understand how people come to church and they're happy. I mean, I don't understand whenever I'm just as poor as they are, but you know what? I just can't ever make it. I take one step forward and two step back. I'm never by everything's against me. The whole world hates me. Ain't nobody's on my side. Nobody loves my soul. I mean, here you be quiet. I mean, all that nonsense going on, that's not true. God said, man, if you see it, because I gave it to you, then get it. I like that, amen? Go get it. I like that go get it stuff. I hear that all the time at work. They try to use reverse psychology on me at work. I know what, because they know that what I do, I'm going to do it 100%, right? And so they try to say, well, here's a piece of, over here in this LaPorte area, we bought a store, LaPorte Tire, out there. And so they said, okay, Larry, we bought LaPorte Tire. I'd like to be in LaPorte Tire for a little while in that LaPorte area there. Go get it! Like I'm some kind of dog. I suppose it's, you know what I'm talking about. Anyway. So you know it's yours. No question. He said, see it. Get it. Go. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. What's the problem? Number two. Not only do you know it's yours, but you think it's yours. So look what they did. And don't really have much judgment upon these people because we kind of do the same thing. God said, here's the promise. Here's what I give you. Go out and get it. And look what they did. Verse 22. And ye came near unto me, every one of you, and said, we will send men before us, and they shall search us out the land and bring us word again by the way we must go in and into what cities we shall come. Do y'all see anything wrong with that? And the saying pleased me well, and I took 12 men of you, one of the tribe. And they turned and went up into the mountains and came up to the valley of Eshcol and searched it out. And they took out of the fruit of the land of their hands and brought it down unto us and brought us a word again and said, it is good land which the Lord our God doth give us. I want you to know not only tonight in perceiving what's yours and that you know it's yours, but number two, you think it's yours. Because see, if they really, really, really saw it, and they really were just going to believe God, and they're just going to obey the Lord, why are we talking about getting 12 men to do anything? Didn't God say, go do it? Didn't He say, here's the land and possess it? Go in it? But yet they had to get 12 men. And then they had the 12 men, and then Moses said, that pleases me. What are you doing, Moses? No wonder you can't go. We find, thirdly, and these are all men's thoughts. These are all men's fleshly ideas. God said, you see it? Go, enter, take it, possess it, it's yours. All the way up there in the Lebanon and Syria, all the way over there in Iraq and to Kuwait, all the way down here to Jordan and Egypt, and all the way back up the Mediterranean Sea, it's yours. They said, we need to get 12 men to go check it out. What? What are you checking out? Well, we got to check it out, see, you know, if there's anybody down there that can harm us, or if there's anything good down there. And they come back with this report. And in the report they came back as if they really are some intelligent people. Yeah. They said this, they're in this report. They said, and down here in this verse 25, it is a good land which the Lord our God doth give us. That's brilliant. The only problem with that tonight is in Exodus chapter 3. Turn there with me. Exodus chapter 3, and look there in verse 8. Exodus 3 and verse 8. Says, and I come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them up out of the land unto a what? A good land. And a large unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And then he tells them where the place is up. What did God say in Exodus chapter 3 verse 8? I'm going to give them a good land. And so they go down and they get their 12 spies and they go into the land. They come back and give a report and says, it's a good land. God already said that. God already determined that way before. He don't know, he don't need you to go and confirm it and say something like this. Well, you know what? I got to check out the Christian life. It's a good life. Well, God already said that. Right. Well, you know, I got it. If I go to church, you know, and serve the Lord, and I go to church and you come out and say, you know what? That was a good service. Well, God already determined that. Right. You know what, boy? I gave my tithes. I feel good serving God. Well, God said that already. There ain't nothing new under the sun, right? Amen. And so God's already said that it's good land. God already said this is what's going to happen, flowing with milk and honey. And so whatever big grapes you bring out at Eshcol and all these other fruits that you bring you can't carry because they're so big and heavy. And you say, well, this is a good land. That's old news. Uh-huh. It's old news. See, you think it's yours. Because when you have to check it out and you have to have some spies and you have to go and do this, it's not that you know it's yours. You think it's yours. So that's why you don't have it. Because you're just thinking it's yours. Number three. So they go from knowing it's theirs to thinking it's theirs. And then we find tonight, look in verse 26 and verse 27, you hope it's yours. Because look what he says there in 26. He says, notwithstanding, you would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God, and you murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hated us, he hath brought us out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. And so you started out knowing it was yours, and then you thought it was yours. That's why you sent some spies in there. And now you hope it's yours, but God said, you rebelled. And tonight, that's exactly what's going on in the Christian's life tonight. When you do not possess the abundant life, you don't possess the promised life, you don't possess tonight the hope, the rest, you don't possess tonight the victory in Jesus tonight, you're rebellious.
That's right.
It's right there for your taking. And God said, you're rebellious. We want to call it something else. We want to call it like, I'm just growing, or I just didn't know, or, you know, and I'm trying to get there. I'm trying my best. I'm just doing what I know to do. And we use all these terms, and God said, no, you're just rebellious. So you are. I give you all of this peace and love and joy. I give you a life of abundance. I give you a life of abundancy. I mean, I give you everything in the world for you to live for Jesus. I give you everything in the world to live for God. I give you the Spirit of God. I give you the Word of God. I give you the preacher. I give you the church. I give you the health. I give you the mind. I give you the strength. I give you everything and anything that you have tonight, and you still don't live the abundant life. It's rebellion. That's what he called it. He said, it's rebellion. And then verse 27, not only did they rebel, because God said go up, and they didn't go up. And then they're in their house murmuring. I mean, God said, you see it? See it. Go get it. Well, we got to send some spies up there, make sure that it's good. Comes back, it's good. All right. Still didn't go up. Still didn't go. God said, you know what? Then you get back to your house and you're complaining about me. And you're murmuring about, you're telling yourselves that I'm trying to destroy you because I hate you. And we do that as Christians a many a times tonight. If we have all of these promises and all tonight of these resources, and we have all these things before us tonight, and we don't take hardly any of it tonight, and we find ourselves in a rut, we find ourselves in a hole, we find ourselves living tonight with not very much love in our hearts and much doubt in our lives tonight, and then we sit back and say, I guess God don't care for me, He won't send me a spouse. He don't care for me. He won't give me a new job. He don't care for me. I'm running on a jalopy. He don't care for me. You know, he knows I need more money. Where you at, God? I mean, my air conditioning went down. It's going to be hot here real soon. And I just get embarrassed running down the road. My windows roll down because it's hot outside. Complain about God. Tonight, it's the rebellious condition that we're in as a church. The rebellious condition we are as Christians. And we're not taking what God's given us. And we're suffering, but it's self-inflicting. It's the prayer, the power of prayer. He said the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much tonight. If Elijah could pray and rain come, Elijah could pray and rain stop tonight. And friend, tonight you and I, we don't pray that much. We wonder what's wrong. He says, give and it shall be given unto you. He talks about the windows of heaven being open and being poured out before you tonight. He's talking about a give with a cheerful heart tonight. And God, friend, you give cheerfully and God gives abundantly. Amen? And we give little. See, it don't make sense tonight. And then we complain because we don't have. And we complain tonight because we're just not where we feel like we want to be or where we need to be tonight. And it's God's fault all the time. And friend, they're saying the same thing. It's God's fault. We find tonight, in verse 28, we find that they doubted. They said, whether shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our heart, saying the people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great, walled up in heaven. Moreover, we have seen the sons of Anakims. You know, this is a great case. Whether shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged us. How many times tonight have we said within ourselves, we're not living the abundant life. We're not living the promised life. We're not living in joy and victory and peace. And we're not living where we are to live. And the reason why is because our spouse. Well, I got a downer. I mean, he throws cold water on me all the time. I'm telling you, Fred, I can't get up for God because he's the one who keeps me down in the devil. Right? I can't. Really, why? Oh, because you go to church and there's people in church. All it is babble on. They got the gift of tongue. They got the gift of talk. They got the gift of just chatter. Amen. That's not one in the Bible, but that's what they have. They got that gift. I mean, they said something to me. They said something about me. You know what I'm going to do? I'm not saying nothing to nobody anymore. I'm just going to come to church and be quiet, sit on my do nothing and do nothing. Well, what's wrong with you? My brethren, my sisters, always somebody else is wrong. Right? Man, that's what happened to them.
Right.
Oh, I'll tell you what, it's our brethren. They discouraged us. They said them are real tall people and they're real big people. And boy, and they got more powerful than us. And there's more of them than us. And there ain't no way we can go over there. Oh, and they discouraged us. And God said, go up. Take the land.
Yeah.
Possess it. I don't care if there's Anakims in there. I don't care if they're 10 foot tall. I don't care tonight how many enemies there are. I don't care tonight what's taking place in life, in the world. I'm telling you, go and take it.
Right.
Stop using your brethren as the reason why you don't. Don't you get tired of getting used? Amen. I mean, it's crazy. So they doubted, but then they disobeyed in verse 29. Then I said unto you, dread not, neither be afraid of them. So Moses said, man, what are you doing? Why are you afraid of those people? God said to go. So they doubted. They disobeyed. They disobeyed because verse 21, he said, fear not, and they feared. They disobeyed because he said tonight, be not afraid, dread not tonight, and neither be discouraged. And they were. That's what they said. They said that in verse 28, we have been discouraged. But he said in verse 21, neither be discouraged. So what are you going to do tonight? You going to follow God, listen to God, or are you going to listen to man? When God said, don't be discouraged, and you say, I'm discouraged. How do you do that? When God said, don't be discouraged and don't be afraid. And you tell God, God, I'm discouraged and I'm afraid. We find tonight, not only did they doubt and disobeyed, but they disbelieved. Verse 30. The Lord our God, which goeth before you, ye shall fight for you according to all that ye did for you in Egypt before your eyes and in the wilderness where thou hast seen how that the Lord thy God bare thee as a man doth bear his son in all the way that ye went until ye came into this place. We find in verse 32, yet in this thing you did not believe the Lord your God, who went in the way before you to search out a place to pitch your tents in and to fire by night to show you by the way you should go in and by the cloud by day. What he's saying, he said, listen, you disbelieved me. I mean, you forgot how I saved you in verse 30. Man, I went to Egypt. It brought you out. You remember that Red Sea that was in your way? You remember the Pharaoh's army that's in your backside? And so you had the Red Sea in your front, you had the in the back of the Pharaoh's army, and they were chugging along, kicking up dirt. The horses were snouts from mouth, were moving out. Fire, it seemed like, were coming forth. They had their weapons in their hand. They said, "I'm going to kill you. And you run up to the Red Sea and say, "Oh, what are we going to do now?" And God just said, "Man, the Red Sea opened up. It was dry ground." They get on the other side. They're looking back. God said, "What are you looking back for?"
Right.
They look back. Next thing you know, God goes, because he went, right? Comes back together. They're drowned. Everybody dies within the river. You're on the other side. And you went, I'm just saying tonight, I saved you. Don't you believe me? I mean, how many people do you know that departed the Red Sea? Number two. Not only did I save you, but you don't believe. But don't you ever forget that I helped you? In verse 31. I mean, you were in the wilderness and I bear thee. I bear you like a son. And I went before you in verse 33, and I got everything lined out for you. And when it was dark, I sent you a pillar of fire. When it was daylight, I gave you a cloud. I mean, there ain't anything that I didn't do for you. I mean, you was hungry, I sent manna. I hit a rock and water came out. I mean, you had your sandals, and man, they didn't wear out. And your clothes, you didn't wear out either. I'm just letting you know that, why you forget that I helped you? You forgot I saved you. You forgot I helped you. You forgot that I led you along the way the whole time. I didn't leave you. You left me. We find tonight, number four, perishing. Not only perceiving what's yours, but perishing what's yours. In other words, tonight, what God said to that generation that died in the wilderness, you had it all. You had everything. But you let it perish. Amen? We're not talking about losing salvation here tonight. We're talking about a promised land. We're talking about a promised life. Is it possible tonight to live a Christian life and be unhappy? Yes. Is it possible tonight to live a Christian life and not live in victory? Without peace and rest and hope. Sure is. Tonight, he says to them, he said, what was yours is now perishing. Sad. Verse 34. The Bible says, and the Lord heard the voice of your words and was wroth and sware, saying, surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land which I swear to give unto your fathers, save Caleb and the son of Jephunneh, and he shall see it. And to him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children, because he hath wholly followed the Lord. As also the Lord was angry with me for your sakes, saying, thou shalt not go in hither. But Joshua, the son of Nun, which standeth before thee, shall go in hither. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. Verse 39, moreover, your little ones, which he said would be a prey, and your children, which in that day had no knowledge between good and evil, they shall go in thither, and unto them will I give it, and they shall possess it. So we find tonight perishing what's yours, meaning you're losing what's yours. You're losing it. And we found that verse 34 and verse 39, that God said, not one of you going in. So all that land that I said to you to go and get it and possess it, and it's flowing with milk and honey, and it's a good land, you lost it. Tonight, it's possible as Christians tonight not to lose your salvation. Please don't get me messed up with this. Because the promised land is not heaven. The promised land is a promised life. It's the abundant life. But there is possibility of living a Christian and never finding victory, never being in happiness, never finding joy, never finding tonight that victory of peace, that victory of winning, of living for Jesus, of never being happy, of never being content, and never being satisfied. It's a possibility tonight. Now, you'll be grieved. You'll be unhappy. You'll try to find things that bring happiness in your life, but you don't have that relationship with Christ as you ought to have because you allowed it to go away.
Right.
It perished. We find it here. They lost it. They lost it. Then it goes on and says this. Not only is it losing what's yours, but turning from what's yours. He said in verse 40, "But as for you, turn you and take your journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea." Wow, that's some words. Can you imagine tonight, 40 years, you've been looking to that land, trying to get to that land that God said it was yours, promised you, go get it. You decided you need to send 12 spies up there. You sent 12 spies. They come back and said the very same thing God said. And then God said, "Why are you fearful and why are you discouraged? I have done all this for you. You know what? I'm done. Not one of you are going to the promised land. Not one. Your children can. Caleb and Joshua is only two." And then it's one thing to say you're not going to go. But then the next thing he tells them is turn you around. It's like us tonight that are Christians. And you might be here tonight. And you might say, you know what? Tonight I'm going to go to that promised life. Man, I'm going to get to it. I'll tell you what, I'm going to live in victory. I'm going to live with rest and peace in my heart. That's going to be joyful. I'm going to live for God. And God says, too late. Too late. I have been with you. I have done all this with you. But right now, what you need to do is you need to turn around and just go back into the wilderness. And that's where you go. That's where you stay. That's hard. That's tough. That's like, boy, God. Can you give him one more chance? Did he? No. You know, we always hear tonight, God's a God of chances. Is he? He didn't give them no more chances. After 40 years, God said, that's enough. That's done. We find the Bible teaches that God's Spirit shall not always strive with man. So we tonight, if we're going to do something, we better do it now.
Amen.
Tomorrow we'll never get here, and later will be too late.
Right.
We find tonight, he told them to turn back into the wilderness. Now what's interesting in chapter 1 and verse 19 says, "And when they departed from Horeb and went through all that great and terrible wilderness." So the God describes that wilderness as great and terrible, and God says, go back to the great and terrible. You want to live like that? You don't want to remove from sin. You want to smoke your cigarettes and come to church. You want to drink your beer and you want to cuss and you want to lie and you want to cheat. You want to live like that and you say that you're Christian. You may be. I don't know. But the fact of the matter is, I'm done with that. You'll never get the life that you think I gave to you because it's over for you. And tonight we find that he's losing what's yours. You're turning from what's yours. And then we find in verse 41, they decided they wanted it. Look at this. Then ye answered and said unto me, "We have sinned against the Lord. We will go up and fight according to all the Lord our God commanded us." And when we had girded on our every man his weapons of war, we were ready to go up into the hill. Now they decided that they wanted to be obedient. Now, since God said, no, none of y'all are going in. Matter of fact, every one of you turn around and go back to the wilderness. Nobody. That's it. I'm done. They said, oh, yeah, we sinned against you, Lord. We got that. Man, we got our weapons on. We're ready to fight. I tell you, it don't even matter who's on the other side over there. Man, we're going to beat them up. Now, where was that earlier? Man, where was that attitude? Where was that determination? Where was that desire? Where was that drive? What happened? Well, you know, it's like in life. When you keep fooling around at work, and finally the boss comes to you and says, you're fired. It's, oh, give me one more chance. I'll be the best one ever. You should have been the best one ever before. When the spouse comes to you and says, you know what? I had enough of you. I'm done with you. It's over. Get out of here. Find you another place to live. Always. Oh, honey, give me one more chance. Is that how that works? It sure does. They say, no, no more chances. I gave you like 600 over 400 years or 40 years. I will. I'm ready, man. I got my bullets on. I got my weapons in. I'm ready. I do whatever you want me to do. I'll fight for you. It's too late. Too late. You say, brother, you telling me tonight that if I keep fooling around with this Christian life, that I may not ever get to live that Christian life in the way of peace and joy and victory? I'm telling you, yes. That's true. That's true. We find here tonight, the last point is taking what's yours. You see, God took what was theirs. God gave it to them, but God took it. Verse 42. And the Lord said unto me, say unto them, go not up, neither fight, for I am not among you, lest you be smitten before your enemies. What God said to the children of Israel, that generation, He says, I'm not with you any longer. Now to us tonight, what it means to us is God will always be with us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. Matter of fact, that prayer that Brother Charlie, you prayed on Sunday about the Lord being with us always, even to the end of the world. That's true. But I tell you what God will do tonight. God will be quenched and grieved. And the power of God will not be upon you. The blessings of God will be removed from you. You'll find yourself as a difficulty and a troubling individual. Everything will be hard. Everything will be difficult. Friend, I'm telling you tonight, God says to Israel, don't go up there. Don't go up there. I'm not with you. So they tried to go without God. And you're going to try to live the Christian life without God? You won't believe it. You can't make it like that. Number two, without guidance. Look at verse 43. So I spake unto you, and you would not hear, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord, and went presumptuously up into the hill. So they went without God. And then number two, they went without guidance. That's how many of us live our lives. Without God and without guidance. Number three, they went up without glory. Verse 4, and the Amorites which dwelt in the mountain came against you and chased you as bees do, and destroyed you in Seir, even into Hormah. That's why many of our dreams die. That's why many of our visions cease. That's why many of our days end in tears. And that's why many of our relationships dissolve. And why much of our money is put in bags with holes. That's why many of our attitudes and our days and our future and our hopes and dreams, it's just this, if I can get through this day, but never thinking about a year from now, 5 years from now. I was talking to somebody today and I said, you know, most people live day by day, but godly people live with a vision. They live with, I'm going to, in 30 years, in 20 years, in 10 years. And they're working with those type of mindsets. Because see, when they get that vision and they want to retire, let's just use retirement. I'll just use me for example. I'm 62 years old. I want to retire at 65, say. I got 3 years of working. So what happens to me is I'm really motivated to put as much money back. To work real hard. To get everything organized, to get everything paid off, to get everything in line. And man, I'm really driven, I'm really determined, and I'm really desired to get to that goal. And it's not just living today, it's living for 3 years from now.
Amen.
Am I right?
That's right.
But if I just live for today, I'd spend all my money.
Right.
I mean, I would have no next step. I would not, for a big goal, you have probably 10 little goals, right? So this year here, I need to meet this amount of money. The next 2 years, I got to get this amount of money. The next three. So it's always that way. And so you're always moving and motivated and to reach that. That's what children of God do.
Right. Amen.
What do you mean? Well, I'm looking for heaven.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. Heaven's coming one day. So I got my goal. That's my vision. And one day I'm going to get there. So, but every day I got to live going to heaven.
Amen.
Living for Jesus.
Uh-huh.
With all my heart. Whatsoever I do, do it heartily. As unto the Lord. And so we find tonight they're living without glory. They're living without guidance, living without God. They're living without grace in verse 45. And you returned and wept before the Lord, but the Lord would not hearken to your voice nor give ear unto you. He wouldn't listen to you. There's no grace. Grace is gone. Glory's gone. Guidance is gone. God's gone. Lastly, there's no grounds. Verse 46. So you abode in Kadesh many days according unto the days that you abode there. There's no grounds for them. They don't get into the promised land. They die in the place they are. Right before it. I'd hate that tonight for any of us. God draws a line though. God goes so far. And God has a limit. As the children of God tonight, as they heard that message from Moses on the children of God, they might say, what was wrong with my fathers? But tonight, as we heard the message, we might say this. What's wrong with us? What's wrong with us? I would desire tonight that all of us would have a great desire, determination, and drive to live that promised life. It's so worth it. Let's stand to our feet, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Well, I've enjoyed Deuteronomy chapter 1 already. There's a lot of chapters in Deuteronomy. If you're going to preach through it like I am, it's probably going to be a couple of years. But I enjoyed it. I pray tonight, if there's anyone that would like to just come to the altar and just do some business with the Lord tonight concerning your walk with Him. Maybe tonight you're this promised life or this abundant life, and maybe you're coming a little bit short on it. Maybe it's just not where you want it to be, and man, you better come and let's just get it with the God tonight and ask God tonight before He gets to that place where it's no longer that He'll have mercy upon you. Well, tonight, let's just get with the Lord tonight. If you need to come, you come. There's several that come. Would you come? There's also a deadline tonight on if you're lost tonight. There's a deadline too. I pray tonight that you would, if God is speaking to you and God's blowing upon you, that you would receive the call and that you'd move accordingly. That tonight you might humble yourself and submit yourself unto His authority. And that you'd turn from your sin tonight and that you'd receive Christ as your Savior. And you begin to live this life tonight of joy and of happiness and victory. Of grace, of mercy, of forgiveness and freedom, fruitfulness. Oh, my desire, my heart is that you get born again. How about you tonight? Would you come? That's only if God's calling. Christians, are you living that life? Or if you are, amen, hallelujah, glory to God. Are you living that promised life? Are you taking all the resources that God has given us? Are we putting them into action? Are we living tonight that brings that life within us? I pray that we are. As these have come to pray tonight, I'm going to pray with them tonight. Then we'll ask for a prayer. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name tonight. And I'm grateful, Lord, tonight that you have opened my eyes. God, concerning this promised life, this abundant life. Lord, how close that they were. And yet, God, how far they were. I would pray tonight, dear God, you'd have mercy upon us. God, upon these tonight that are concerned, I pray you'll help them. I pray tonight, God, that they would surrender all. I pray, Lord, they desire in their heart, dear God, to get to that promised land. That land, God, that is full of milk and honey. that land is full of grace and mercy. God, forgiveness. God, it's a land of victory and success. A land tonight, your God, that brings rest and peace. God, that brings them strength and courage. And God gives them boldness. God, this life tonight of being a Christian, God will make them faithful, steadfast, always abounding in the work of the Lord. God, I pray tonight, Lord, that you'd help them, dear God, to reach that place. God, they'd go get it because you already gave it to them. And Lord, that they would enjoy from this day on, God, this life, dear God, that's so good in Christ. We pray, dear God, for their homes. We pray for their lives. We pray for their children. God, we pray for their spouses. I pray, dear God, that you would move in their lives in such a way tonight, Lord, that when they get up off their on their feet, God, that you'd fill them with your Spirit. God, that you would anoint them with on high. God, that they walk out of here tonight as if they're on another cloud. God, knowing, God, that you are with them, and God, that they have decided tonight, dear God, that I'm just going to live that abundant life. I'm just going to live in Christ and Christ alone. And I'm just going to be concerned about what Jesus wants in my life. And I want to live for Him, and I'm going to love Him, and I'm going to lean on Him. And God, I'm going to wait for His return. And God, in the meantime, I'm just going to live for Christ and worship Him. Lord, I ask you tonight, God, to take each one of us tonight. Help us, Lord, in the place that we are. You know tonight we're just needy people. God, David said we're poor and needy. And tonight that's what we are. And I pray you'll help us tonight. Pray, God, that we'll get up out of here tonight in just a moment, and we'll be ready to live and walk with God. We'll fight the good fight of faith. We'll look unto the author and finisher of our faith. And Lord, we'll just trust in you, and we'll lean on you all the way unto heaven. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Oh.